All right, let's get our Bibles out. I've been talking to you about backsliding. I've been talking to you about people falling away from the church. Anybody here ever fall away from the church at least one time in your life? Yes. See, a lot of people, right? Quite a bit of people. And we have to kind of ask ourselves, you know, why did that happen? You know, we don't want specific things here today, but like, why did that happen? You have your own reason. I'm sure you do have your own reasons. But Peter, you know, the ultimate backslider, you know, he taught us about what not to do. And I reminded you of things that Peter said, that you shouldn't do these things. I told you about pride. I told you about laziness. I told you about denial. I told you about these things. And so we're going to wrap up this series today with the things that you are to do. You are to do. Not the things you are not to do, but the things you are to do. Now, why Peter? Why Peter? Why can Peter teach this lesson? Well, you know, if you wanted to be a guitar player, you'd probably have to find a guitar player that can teach it. Would that not be right? That makes perfect sense. If you want to learn how to play bass, you find a bass player. Teach how to play bass. That makes perfect sense. Well, if you want to learn not how to be a backslider, you ought to be taught by who? Backslider, right? And Peter is like the ultimate example of backsliding. And the reason why Peter is the ultimate example of backsliding is from how far he fell. I mean, Peter, you don't get more zealous than Peter. You know, Peter's known as the what? As the rock. You don't get much more zealous than Peter. And so Peter fell from a mighty long way. He fell from an unbelievable high place. And he fell all the way down to the lowest place by denying who? Christ. You can't get much further than that, right? But he didn't, it isn't like he didn't go to church one day, right? It's not like he didn't go to the Bible study class. It's he denied even knowing him. Chances are pretty good for even those of you that have fallen away from the church at some point in your life, you never said, there's no Jesus. Probably you didn't go that far. How many did not go that far? You didn't go that far and say, I don't even know him. No, you made a whole bunch of reasons, I'm sure, in your own mind why you quit going. But you never said, I don't know him. Peter, all the way went down to the very bottom of the rung of the ladder in backsliding, what did he say? I don't know. In fact, he started cursing when pressed. Right? He started cursing when pressed. He said, I don't know him. That's about as far as you can go. Denying he even exists in your life. So Peter is the ultimate authority in backsliding. Well, he's also the ultimate authority in restoration too. Which is good news for us. Which is really good news because no matter how far down you fell, guess what? Jesus is big enough to what? Pick you up. How many also picked themselves up by their bootstraps and loved Jesus Christ again? How many of you fell, but you're back? And you're welcome in the family. And so we want to find out from the Apostle Peter, what are the things to do if you have fallen away from the church? What should you do? What should you do so you don't fall away from the church again? Turn your Bibles, please. And we're going to be hanging out in guess what book? Peter. The one he wrote about backsliding. Peter, the perfect example of not only what not to do, but what to do. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6.
In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud who shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time.
You must guard against your prideful hearts. You must humble yourself and become like a what? Like a child. And for some of us, that is really difficult to do. To humble ourselves as a child is extremely difficult to do. I know that some people, in where I go, you know, I have to put official titles on stuff. You know those meetings where you're at the table and they put the name in front of you? How many have ever been in one of those? They put the name in front of you. Or I have to go for CE credits and stuff like that. They give you the name tag and it goes on you. How many have ever been one of those things, right? Almost every time I go to one of these places, they put some initials before my name. Somebody know what that is? R-E-V. And you know what I tell people? When I can get to them, take that off, because I'm not reverent. Fact is, I never met one that is reverent. I have never, not in my entire life, because I hang around with pastors. You know, you see them, and maybe you talk to them, but I hang around with them. And I'm letting you know, I don't know one that's reverent. I know some that are scriptural, and I know some that are faithful, and I know some that love the Lord, but I don't know one that's reverent. Does anybody here know one man or woman that's reverent? There's only one. Only one that was ever reverent. And he's not here, but he's coming back. How many know that's true? And so we have to make sure that even when we get that title, reverend, we have to make sure, hey, wait a second. What makes you so important? Well, you understand that Jesus said, I did not come to be served, I have come to serve. How many know that's a big difference? The shepherd is not to be served, the shepherd is to serve. Big difference. And sometimes in the life of the church, we get these titles and we think like we're all that. Oh, no, you're not. Jesus Christ is all that. And you're a far distant third. Because everybody else should be more important than yourself. How many agree with that statement? That's the way it works. So I want you to turn to somebody and say, you need anything, I can help you. I'm willing to help. Turn to somebody and say, I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to serve you. I am so willing to serve you. Lynn, I'm willing to serve you, Lynn. There is no master greater than the servant. There is no master greater than the slave. None. Zero, none. And so what we have to understand that we have to become humble. We have to lower ourselves down. For the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know what? I would hate to be first in the church and be last in heaven. Let me run that by you again. I'd rather be the last one, like in the bottom of the row, and not honored to be first, because I want to be first in heaven. How many want to be first in heaven? I don't care about first here. I want to be first in heaven. For the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. That's scriptural. And so when you get the title and you think that you're all that, no, when you get the title, everybody else ought to be all that. And you ought to become the servant. How many agree with that statement? That's true. It's absolutely true. And Peter is saying, you who are younger, submit yourselves. Now, you should submit yourselves to those who know more than you. That's obviously a truth. How many, when you were 16, you knew everything in life? Now, I have here, my children are here today. I want to let you know I have my children here today. I have my son Jesse, my daughter Shauna, and my daughter Desiree. Now, I can say this because they're here, and I will tell you, when they were 16 or 17, they thought I was the dumbest person on the face of the earth. There is no question, I know for sure, my kids probably thought I couldn't make it home at the end of the day. It's true. But now that my children have children, guess who gets called all the time? For some reason, I got smarter. How many adults here? How many parents know that? But there came a time when that cycle turned back around, and now they're calling you for everything, saying, oh, whoa, 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 what am I supposed to do? My daughter Desiree called me yesterday. Praise God. And so we are to submit ourselves. There's no question that we are. But we are to accept the knowledge too. How many here maybe not went to college, but you're a lot smarter today than you were before? How many wise in this room? How many wise people we have in this room? How many are saying, I ain't doing that again? Juanita, you ain't doing that again, right? No, no. Peter says, you need to humble yourself. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9.
Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings.
Okay. You know, in New York State, they have a couple bad guys walking around up there somewhere, don't they? At least they think they're still around, right? Now, we don't really know where they are, these two bad guys, these two murderers. They're around someplace. They're around someplace, and certainly they think they're up in upstate New York somewhere, like 30 miles from the border. How many know that? How many know there's like two bad guys walking around somewhere? Right? And they're interviewing people, and they're saying, well, how do you feel? How do you feel? Oh, I'm a little nervous when I go to bed, man. I'm making sure the windows are locked and the doors are bolted. I'm a little anxious, and you know what? I'm on my guard because I know they're walking around out there somewhere, and I don't want to be taken by surprise. How many heard some of these residents say that? Man, I'm a little nervous. Guess what? They may be in Mooncrest because they ain't found them yet. Hey, you know what? They ain't where they're looking. And they ain't found them yet. Guess what? They ain't where they looked. Now, see, if I was them, I'd probably say, you know what? I'm not hanging around up here. They're looking for me everywhere they go. Why would I hang around here? But I bet they ain't looking for me at Mooncrest. I'm just saying. And if I told you I saw two guys walking off Thorn Run Road and they look like them guys, how many is going to bolt those doors tonight? Why do they not where they're looking? They could be in the burg. But see, if you knew they was in the burg, if you knew they was in Mooncrest, you'd do everything you could to lock them doors. Woo, you'd be checking out that. But see, that's the problem. See, spiritually, Satan ain't in hell. He's in your house. Satan ain't down at the crack house. He's in your house. And he's in this house. How many know that? He's in here. He might be right beside you. Oh, I didn't mean that. Why did I mean that? He's in your house. The idle mind is the devil's playground. How many know Satan likes to play up here? That's what he does, is playing. And the problem is, we get lazy spiritually. We keep looking for him. He's not in my house. He's not in my church. He's not in my school. He's not in places. How many know when they kicked God out of school, Satan ran in? How many know that's absolutely true? When they kicked God out of the public square, Satan came. You think Satan left the town square because you can't put a nativity there? He ran in. How many know he's in our government offices too? How many know he likes to hang around in the Senate, in the House of Representatives? I think he even hangs around in the White House. Just saying. I'm just saying. He hangs around everywhere. You know the biggest lie Satan tells the world? He doesn't exist. No, he exists. And we need to start to become aware. We can't be lazy. We have to be looking for him. You have to look underneath every corner of your life and try to find him because he is there. How many know he's there? He's there. And the minute you quit looking, he's got you. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge.
You know, there's a three-letter word there that I want you to pay attention to up there. It's three letters. Now, you can try to figure out which one is three letters. It's not four, it's not and, so it might be another one. Add. How many know add is a verb? Let me check with a learner. Jimmy, add's a verb, right? Add means you have to do something. How many know add means, Linda, you got to do something? Listen to me, church. You can't sit here and have me add to your faith. You have to add to your faith. Amen. I cannot by assimilation drop it on your head. You have to do it. It's a conscious effort. It's an action. You have to do it. You have to put forth the effort. You have to get out God's way. Let me tell you something, church. Satan goes, oh, I'm really concerned because they're in their Bible. No, he's not, because he sees what you do with it after you leave. See, Satan watches you. Satan goes, that what Jim's doing? That doesn't concern him because, see, he says, oh yeah, Jim's in, and then he closes it and he brings it back on Sunday. See, I've seen that before. Satan is not concerned about you getting in God's Word today. Satan's not concerned that you're reading that today. Satan is not concerned because she's hearing it, reading it. He's concerned that it gets in you. He's not concerned about you being in the Word. He's seen you do that before. You know what he's concerned about, church? Is the Word getting in you. Now that bothers him greatly. I explained it to my class the other day. You know what you're reading on that paper? What you're reading up there? What's that called, class? Who was here? I tell you what that. Told you what that's called. It starts with a B. What's that called up there? The Biblios, the written word. She, this young girl, the young child, read from the word. You think she understood it all? That's called the Logos. You just can't read it. You got to live it. You just can't read it. You got to bring it in. You got to understand what it means. And you know what? That takes an effort. You have to add. Let's turn to our Bibles, please. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10.
Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble.
Two-letter magic word. What is it? Do. If you what? Do these things. Not just know these things. You have to what? Do these things. A lot of brothers and sisters who come to the church, this one as well. When you leave here today, you will know the things to do. I'm going to do my very best to make sure that you know the things to do. But what must you do after that? Do them. You got to do them. I probably counsel 5 or 6 couples every single week. That's what I do. Some people I've been counseling for an extended period of time. And it's not because I didn't tell them what to do. It's because what? They won't do it. I could tell you over and over and over and over, but until you do it, well, Anita, what good is it going to do? Nothing. You'll be a very learned person who does nothing. You have to what? You have to do it. If you do these things. So what we have to understand is Peter's saying, church, don't be like I was. Don't be lazy. Do it. Be in his word. When an opportunity comes to serve, serve. When the opportunity comes to attend the Bible study, be there. When the opportunity comes to grow in your faith, be there. Don't be lazy. How many understand the difference? It's true. You got to put forth the effort. Let me tell you something, church. Peter's saying, hey, you know what? If you do what you've always done, you'll be where you always were. And that's the truth. If you do that which you have always done, you will be exactly where you always were. And if you are always where you were based upon what you do, quit whining and complaining, just accept that that's where your lot in life is. But if you want to be different, you want to make a difference in the world, you want to make a difference in your life, you want to stand up and be counted, then do it. Don't just listen to it. Put forth the effort. Make a change in your life. You know what, folks? When I do counseling, everybody wants to change the person across from them. Did you know that? My whole life is because of that person. Really? How many know you ain't changing anybody? And you know why I know that? Because you can't change yourself. How many have a full-time job working on you? How many looked in the mirror and saw their problem today? Just saying. So quit being lazy. Do. Don't just hear, do. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. So far we said what? Humble yourself. The second thing was what Peter said? Don't be lazy. Put forth the effort. Come on. You want to be a woman or man of faith? Put it into action. So two things Peter says. Peter says what? Do not be prideful. Humble yourself as a little child. What's the second thing? Don't be lazy spiritually. The third thing.
So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him.
All right. Make every what? How many mean that means do everything? Let's make every effort. That doesn't just mean, well, you know what? When it's convenient for me, how many know where I'm going with this? When it fits into my lifestyle, when it fits into my schedule, count me in. You know what? Many of us in the church, not just this, but everywhere, you have a day keeper. If Jesus himself came and said, I want to talk to you, but if I fit you in, Lord, let me fit you in. Kind of busy today, let me fit you in. Let's make what, guys? Every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Is that some effort? Every. Let me tell you something, church. We do not worship a part-time God. We're the only part-time Christians. We don't have a halfway God. We got a halfway church. How many know that's true too? Well, you're in or you're out. You're in or you're out. And you can't be in and only do it part-time. You can't. You know what? Best at best, you're part-time. How many understand that? God needs some sold-out people. He needs some people that's more afraid of Him than everybody else. Anybody afraid of the Lord? In a reverent kind of, I am. I'm not afraid of men and women anymore, whatever. But I'm afraid of Him. How many have a reverent fear of a holy God? If you don't, you should all read a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, by Jonathan Edwards. You Google that, you read that, and come back and talk to me about what your attitude is. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16.
However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name.
We need to have some people that are not cowards to be in the Lord's. We need some people that are brave enough to stand up and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And that's okay. I don't care what you think. You know, in the year 2015, it's not popular or as popular to be a Christian as it was 40, 50 years ago. How many know that's absolutely true? You know, when those of us that are old enough to remember the blue laws, how many remember the blue laws? When stores were not open, right, Lenny? Mary? Stores weren't open. Nobody was open, right? And then the first time they opened up a store and some people went in, you thought, how wrong is that? How wrong is that to be going shopping on a Sunday? How wrong is that? And then as you continue to, you know, go yourself, you won't believe how many people was at the store on Sunday. Well, how do you know that? No, I'm just asking. Well, now, how did you know that? I'm just suggesting. You know, they are even having the stores open Thanksgiving right after the turkey. How do you know that? Your neighbor went. Oh, you know how we can stop the stores being open? Quit going. Oh, you don't got to call and complain. Just what? Quit going. My assistant, I have two assistants where I work, and one of my assistants said, Pastor Tom, I got really good news for you. I am going to not take Black Friday off this year. You and Sissy can go shopping. And I said, oh, you working? Like for the last 8 years, this person been with me, Black Friday is like perpetual. Black Friday. I said, why are you not taking Black Friday off? And my assistant said, well, I just thought this true. You know, and I don't want to have to take that Black Friday from you. You and Sissy can go shopping. I said, well, thank you. That's very kind of you. And I went, oh, you're going after Thanksgiving. That's what you're doing. Well, I'll get the best deals. Be courageous. Stand up. Be counted. And I'm not talking just here. I'm talking out there. Out there where it counts. Peter says, don't do what I did. Don't be a coward. Stand up. Be counted. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 12.
Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us.
Quit being worldly. Church, there are some people that I know that somebody could come and tell me something about that person, I would say, there is no way. What you're saying to me, there is no way that happened. There is no way that happened. It didn't happen. But I saw whoever you think you saw, you did not see that person. Because that person would not do what you just told me. How many know people like that in your lives? No matter what they say, one, you say, you saw somebody, but you didn't see that person. Because there's no way that person did that. How many of you have Satan sitting on your shoulder sometimes saying, do it. Right? Do it. He's right there, right? Come on. Oh, you deserve it. come on, come on, what's that, that little thing? How many know he's a liar? He's a liar. And he can convince you of anything. Now listen to me, church. You have to understand this. If you got a problem with the alcohol, don't go in the bar. If you got a problem with some stuff, quit being aware. Listen, there were some men that I have counseled a couple years ago. And the person had a problem with, I got kids here, I'm going to be very careful how I say this. Had a problem with downloading stuff on the computer. How many understand what I said, what I was saying?
Yeah.
Okay, got a problem with downloading stuff on the computer. So I said to these two men that I was counseling, I said, oh, I can fix that. I can fix that. Well, Pastor Tom, man, that's good. I want you to fix it. I said, oh, man, I can fix that for you so fast. Give me the name of your cable provider. Well, what are you going to do with that? Oh, I'm going to fix it. I can fix it this afternoon. Well, what are you going to do? I'm going to shut off. I'm fixing it. I got to pay my bills. Well, here's the really good news. I have another provider for you. Yeah, it's called Angel Watch. And you can pay your bills. You just can't watch certain stuff. You want to fix it or you don't. Get ready for this one. But what if I'm going to do a book report on breast cancer? Book report. How many know he doesn't want fixed? They don't want to fix the problem. How many know that's the truth? They don't want to fix it. They want to talk a really good game, but they don't want to fix it. Hey, listen to me, church. Listen to me, church. You cannot be tempted beyond that which you can bear. You know what? If you hang around with the wrong people, you remember what your parents told you to get yourself in trouble? You hang around with the wrong people, how many know? She was right. Well, God says, if my children hang around with the wrong people, you are going to get yourself in trouble. There's an old song, I love to sing it. My friends don't treat me like they used to, since I laid my burdens down. Guess what? I fixed that. Know how I fixed that? Go from different friends. Just get yourself some different friends. How many need a different friend in this room?
I need a
new job. How many's willing to be a friend to somebody who needs a friend? Okay. Who needs a new friend? Here I go right now. I'm applying for the job. I am your new friend. God bless you. Now make sure you make a friend with somebody before you leave this place, okay? But how many know a friend keeps a friend from falling?
Yes,
there's a shirt I got. It says like this: friends stop friends from driving drunk. I got the better one. You ready? I got the better one. Friends stop friends from going to hell. How many want to call me that shirt? Praise be to God. Let's go. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15.
But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.
Always be prepared to give a reason for why you love the Lord. Give the reason why you love the Lord. Somebody the other day was talking about the law, the old law, you know, the Shabbat. How many know some people can quote the law pretty well? So this person was talking to me. He said, well, now you know that we don't worship on the Sabbath. I said, well, that's true. You know, the law also says don't wear polyester clothes, too. Did you know the law says, for example, that you should wear clothes made from the same cloth? Did you know how many knew that? That's what the law says, right, Michael? Deuteronomy says make sure you wear clothes all of the same cloth. So when you quote the law, quote what? All of it. How many praising God we're not under law anymore, we're under grace? How many really thankful we're under grace? Boy, how many need a lot of grace? How many know people around you need, no, never mind. Grace, mercy. And we got to understand something, that we always got to give a reason why. Because people are going to ask you, why are you going to church? Now, here's some options. Seriously, here's some options. Why you go to church? Why are you going up there to that little gray church on that hill up there? You know they want your money anyhow. You going up that church, want your money, probably ask you to do something. Next thing you know, you have to join a church or something. I mean, that's what they think. That's what the world thinks. How many know that's what the world thinks? Why are you going up there? Now, you got some possible answers. Here's answer number one. You know, that pastor's pretty good. He's like, pretty good. Well, that could be one reason. Number two says, you know what? They got some really good music up there. That's number two. But see, that's both worldly. You know what the answer should be? Because I love the Lord and I don't know where else I'd be. That's the answer, because I love the Lord and I want to go praise Him today from the mountaintop. That's what I want to do. Because there's nothing else more important than worshiping the Lord. How many say amen to that? And that's what Peter is saying. Don't go out there and say, well, Steelers aren't playing, I might as well go up there. Because you love the Lord. How many love the Lord? How many are here to worship the Lord today? That's why you're here, to recharge your spiritual batteries, to go out there and fight the good fight. That's why you're shooting up to get in the game. So many people say, I'm a warrior for Christ. No, you're not. If you're not in the battle, you ain't a warrior. A warrior is in the battle. A warrior is in the fight. How many are in the fight of their lives? We're in the fight of our lives. That's where the battle is, right here. The battle's raging. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 to 18.
Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard, so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Peter says, dear friends, you've been warned. Peter says, you know what? I have been there, and I have done that. You have been forewarned. And Peter says, don't do the things I did, and be carried away by the error of the lawlessness from your secure position. But grow in grace and knowledge. Let me tell you something, church, in closing this. Scripture talks about Cain and Abel. And he says to Cain, be very careful, Cain. You're being warned. Satan is outside your door. Be very careful. Satan looking outside your door. All you need to do is what? Open the door. How much of a foothold does he need, church? So he needs a little crack, doesn't he? Sometimes he just needs a little what? It's true, church, it's true. Be very careful. You're forewarned. Satan's outside your door. And when you open that door, say, who's there? He puts his foot in it. And you ain't shutting it. You're going for the fall. How many know you're going for the fall? You've been forewarned. But church, in closing this message to you, let me tell you something. If you only heard the things I told you, what difference are you going to make? Not one ounce. But if you do these things, what difference can you make?
A lot.
A lot. Selena, come here a minute, honey. This is my granddaughter, Selena. Hi, Selena. Selena. She's 16. I'm wrong, right? You eight? She's eight. Right? And Selena, I'm going to brag on a little bit, but I'm going to bring her up here. Selena, she's going to be tested for the GATE program because she scored over 95% of kids her age in a test. Right? I just wanted to brag on a little bit. That's not why I brought her up here. I just want you to look this way, then look that way, okay? Just take your time. Just take a look around. See all these people out there? You see them? She's learning from you. My little eight-year-old watching you. She's watching every one of you. And she's learning. By watching you and listening to you, my eight-year-old is learning what to say and how to talk. She's learning how to become a young lady by watching you. Are you worth watching? Are you worth watching? If you're not worth watching, maybe you ought to go back to do the things you know you're supposed to be doing. I'm just saying. This little girl, my granddaughter Selena, can be raised in this church with all of you. And I hope and I pray that you're worth watching for her, because she's learning. You're a good learner? She's a good learner. Are you a quick learner? Quick learner. You remember things, don't you? You're a good rememberer. She's a good rememberer. How many know all she needs to hear is one word, and she'll remember it? How many of you are going to set a good example for this little one? I'm serious. Well, thank you. Set a good example for her, because she's learning. Thank you, honey. I feel a lot smarter just standing next to you, Selena. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be teachers. To be teachers, to be doers. Because, Lord, we got to understand that there is kids coming up from behind us. They're learning. And Lord, if we want to raise them in the church, then they're going to learn in the church. If we want to raise them up in the church pews, they're going to learn from the people sitting in the church pews. Every man and every woman in this place is going to teach something. Going to teach something. And I hope and pray, Lord, that every man and woman in this church is going to teach something that some kid needs to know. So Father God, help us, as Peter said. Quit being lazy spiritually. Be strong in the Lord. Quit being cowards when it comes to claiming Jesus as your Savior. Quit being worldly. Quit being full of yourself. Humble ourselves. Help us to become like a child so we can teach a child to become like us. In your wonderful name we pray these things. And all of God's children said, Amen.